kept them right up here. All right, you know, it was really... Oh, okay, good. Ah, it is there. Are we going to get it on the back, too, or... No? Oh, okay. All right, well, that's fine. That's fine. So as you see back here, what do these companies have in common? Food. Food? They're Christian. That's true. They are Christian companies. Closed on Sunday. Closed on Sunday. Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A, and I'm sure there's others. Now, I'm 53, and I'm old enough to remember back some years ago that there were a lot of convenience-type stores that were closed on Sunday. Restaurants, maybe even shopping malls, I don't quite remember, but it wasn't uncommon. But as we've moved forward in years, that's less and less of the case. And certainly at Christmas time and Thanksgiving, we still see a number of stores, convenience type stores, closed, but more and more are open now, especially on Thanksgiving, you know, because you got that whole, what do they call it, Black Friday thing, which to me is the one day to certainly stay out of the store. But look here. But both these companies realize that Sunday is a day set apart. That Sunday is a day to relax. It's a day of worship. It's a day for family, and it's a day for friends. It's a day to leave the work world aside. And that's really a cool thing. And as we get into the subject of the Sabbath and the Lord's Day, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to try to make application and try to help us gain a better understanding and help us to examine our lives before the Lord on how we can better live that day and how we can better work as servants of the Lord. But the one thing we always need to be careful of, we need to get our direction from the Lord. Yes, it's good to have others as examples to follow, but we need to be sure that we're being conformed to the right person. We're being conformed to Christ and not someone else. Or I've seen so often, and maybe you've seen it too, that someone really desires to go on for God, but that what they do is they copy another person. They do what that person does. They read that translation of the Bible. If that person's not into a certain type of music, they'll throw that, you know, the other music they loved away and all this. And then one day they come to recognize, hey, that wasn't me, that's him. You know, and you get a lot of frustration and unhappiness and that. So if I can get across one thing here today, it's to focus on Christ. Certainly every day is the Lord's, and we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, as it says. And there's so many helps out here for us today, and education on the internet. Of course, we get educated through the internet oftentimes as well, through books and that kind of thing. But keep focused on the Lord Jesus. Keep focused. Get to know His Word, and you won't be led astray. We're going through the series on the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments are cool. And we've talked about the structure. The first four commandments are God-focused. Last time I spoke on not taking the name of the Lord in vain, and we found that that was more than just the words that come out of our mouth. It's really the lives that we lead as well. Because as we're out in the world, we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. As we're in the business world, people are, if they know we're Christians, they're looking at us to see in some way, how do we respond to negative situations? How do we respond to disappointment? How do we respond to not getting that promotion? And if we respond wrong, and we have certain rights, of course, that we can take advantage of, but if we get bitter and angry at management, what does that say about us as Christians? That's another way in which we can take the name of the Lord in vain, just that negativity that can pour out of our lives. So we talked a bit about that, and it's obviously a real challenge to me, and I trust that it was to you. The second six commandments that we're going to begin to cover, maybe next week, Bruce, those are neighbor-focused, and certainly our view of God influences the way that we treat others. If we take the Word of God seriously, if we take love one another seriously, it's going to show. It's going to show. If we fear God and God is love, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved the world, He was willing to suffer a wrong. God so loved the world, He was willing to lay aside His rights. God so loved the world, He's waiting now for His enemies to be made a footstool, giving people an opportunity to repent, to turn to Christ, because He's not willing that any should suffer, but that all, or perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it leaves us an example. And we can sum up these commandments according to Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. In verse 31, the font is probably too small, but you know it, the two commandments that we can use, or to sum them up, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And that's how you do it. That's how you keep the Ten Commandments. But there's a lot to say about keeping the Ten Commandments. They're not a way of salvation. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, James tells us that if you break a commandment in one spot, you're guilty of all. So we need to have a proper biblical perspective on this. So today, it's the fourth commandment that we're following. And the seventh day was set apart as a holy remembrance that creation is complete. Genesis chapter 1, verses 31 through chapter 2 and verse 3. And you see it there, and I've sort of annotated it. But God saw that all He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God finished the work He had been doing. And so on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. And I want you to see there, we learn, you know, one of the, I'm sorry, Robin, I said you know, but but Scripture, as you follow it forward from Genesis to Revelation, there is a progressive revelation. If you get into the concept of biblical theology that Donald Carson talks about, and that the farther forward we go, the more we learn, and it helps us to interpret what's been in the past. And we learn from Colossians chapter 1 that it is God the Son, whom we know now as Jesus Christ, who was the Creator. He spoke all these things into existence. He upholds all things by the word of His mouth. And so it's really cool. And like I say, our focus is the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, the word Sabbath has its origins in the Hebrew word Shabbat, from a root meaning to cease, to desist, or rest. And what He did here is He gave us an example of rest from creative work. And that's an important concept, from creative work. And certainly, our society recognizes a seven-day work week with 2 days off. Not every culture is like that, certainly. But ours is. And that's of great benefit. And, you know, you can really take advantage of rest, but it gives you a great opportunity as well to serve the Lord. And that's something that we have in our society that we need to take more opportunity of. And in this term of resting, of what it really means, think of the Lord Jesus Christ sitting or resting at the right hand of the Father after his ascension. That gives you a sense of the rest that God has in mind on the, had in mind for the Sabbath, and in some ways the Lord's Day as well. So, great quote here from John Stott I wanted to share with you. The climax of Genesis 1 is not the creation of human beings as workers, but the institution of the Sabbath for human beings as worshipers. The end point is not our toil, subduing the earth, but the laying aside of our toil on the Sabbath day. For the Sabbath puts the importance of work into perspective. It protects us from a total absorption in our work, as it were, to be the all, to be the all and end all of our existence. It is not. So right from the beginning, God designed a day that we could set apart, a day for rest, a day for worship. And when I say that, I mean coming together as a body. That's how we're going to, I think, understand it here. But let's move forward to Exodus. And that's really, so open your Bibles, if you don't have them open already, to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to start reading at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And it's important to notice that this command honors God and blesses men and animals and expects that man trusts in him to provide. Because as you go through the history of the Old Testament, you see that the nation of Israel struggled with that. And many people today struggle. Why are businesses open 7 days a week? To maximize profit, to sort of smooth out those days in which there's going to be loss for one reason or another, anything relating from loss of electricity, loss of manpower, whatever the case may be. So it sort of smooths that out and makes the business more profitable in that. But God called his people Israel to take that day and to trust him to provide. So he used it as an object lesson for them. Don't do any work on that day, or at least a minimal of work. Do your preparation the day before, and then trust me to see the result. And what we also see as we move in, as we move through Deuteronomy, the Sabbath was a sign between Israel and God. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, we see a restatement. Okay, there we go. We see a restatement of what was in Exodus, and I think this is like 40 years in the future when he gave this, and I want to you to look at the underlined, because we have a restatement, and it says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to serve the Sabbath day. And this set Israel apart. Did it again. And this set Israel apart from other nations, giving Israel a story to tell. Because remember, Israel was meant, and we get this as we get into Isaiah and that, but Israel was meant to be a light in the world. They were meant, as it was with the Queen of Sheba in the time of Solomon, that people would come and that people would learn of the Lord in that. And when they came, what would they learn? Well, one of the things they would learn is about the Sabbath and the reason for the Sabbath. Because the great works of God that are spelled out in the Old Testament are what? Creation and the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. And these are great works that the people of God could meditate upon on the Sabbath day, on that day in which they were resting. But we know, unfortunately, and I've given you a hint many times already today, that Israel didn't always follow the fourth commandment. Matter of fact, they probably rarely followed it. And one of the reasons for the captivities, you know that Israel went into captivity in the 700s or so, and then in 586, or ending in 586, Judah went into captivity. It's very interesting as you look at 2 Chronicles 36. Chronicles was written so that the people who were coming back from captivity would learn. They would learn the mistakes that their forefathers made and that they wouldn't repeat those. So that's why the writer of Chronicles included these editorials. And one of the things he said here was God wanted the land to enjoy its Sabbath rests. All of the time of its desolation it rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word spoken by Jeremiah. And to understand this, we need to go back to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 8. Count off seven Sabbaths of years, seven times seven, so that the seven Sabbaths of years amount to a period of 49 years in the year of the Jubilee, which some of you know. But the land was supposed to have a rest as well. Very important. In Leviticus 26, verses 34 and 35, where it's talking about the judgment that would befall them if they did not obey the Sabbath, then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths, and it's what the author of Chronicles basically said. You'll be in the land of your enemies, and the land will enjoy its rest. All the time that it lies desolate, the land will have its rest that it did not have during the Sabbath. So this is something that God took very seriously in the Old Testament. We don't have a lot of time, but we could go into Isaiah chapter 58 in verse 14, where it talks about the Sabbath being a delight to them, that if you keep the Sabbath, I will bless you in ways that you can't imagine. But Israel had that contentious relationship, not dissimilar to the contentious relationship that we sometimes get into when we get our eyes off of God. We sort of get into a bartering with God. If you do this, I'll do that. And all through Isaiah, God, especially I think chapter 59 gets into that perhaps, but it's the whole idea, no, obey me and be blessed. You know, as a parent of teenagers, I can understand that. Everything that a parent does, it seems, at certain times in the lives of teenagers is challenged. Why? Why do I have to do this? Why can't I do it my way? And that, and it's, we did it when we were kids. It's called the parent's curse now, right? But if you just obey, if you would just do what's right, you'll be blessed. You'll have benefit. And that's the message that God is trying to get across to Israel and to Judah. And it's the message he's trying to get across to us as well. So we move forward farther into what I call the Sabbath Wars. So Israel learned a number of... So Israel went into captivity. You know they came back under Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah as well. And they learned a number of lessons as a result of that captivity. And that's where the Pharisees came up and began to develop the 610 commandments so that you can keep the 10 and keep the law and that kind of thing. They've also come up with 39 ways to keep the Sabbath because they were serious about not going into captivity again. But oftentimes you go too far, the best of intentions. Legalism starts with the best of intentions, but it ends in disaster. So Israel learned laws, so that there would not be, we said that. But enter the Lord Jesus. As you read through the Gospels, he would oftentimes choose Saturday as the day to heal the paralyzed man, the blind man, or whatever the case may be. And they challenged him on that. You're breaking the Sabbath. You can almost see in their minds. Can't you see what happened in the past? You want a repeat of that today? Now you have to intertwine that with their desire to have power and authority and to keep their position, but no one's evil all the time. There is still some good intention in that, but good intention with error is still error. And that's what the Lord Jesus wanted to get across to them, and finally he told them, the Sabbath was not made for, what's the quote here? The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. And that must have been another shocking statement for them to have to deal with. Because he's showing himself to be God again. He's showing himself to be something more than what they thought this poor Nazarene carpenter was capable of. And they despised him for it. So many things they despised him for. This was one of them. So later, once the Holy Spirit was given and the church began to grow, it soon became impossible to worship. So we're moving forward here. We talked today about the ascension. We talked about, and I think Lance mentioned Pentecost as well. As the church moved forward, certainly in the beginning, the place they went to meet was the temple. They went to the synagogue. But all through the book of Acts, we see that there was this crisis. There was this challenge. Every time they mentioned the Lord Jesus and they showed how the prophets and the prophecies spoke of him, it became contentious. We're studying the book of the letter of Thessalonians right now. Caused a riot in Thessalonica. They had to flee. This man who turned the world upside down, or as Lance said, right side up. You know, so it became impossible to worship together. So the question, is Sunday a Christian Sabbath? Well, the church transitioned away from Saturday to Sunday as a day of worship. And we call today, Sunday, the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is a time for Christians to meet together with our God as part of a body, as the church, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. So why the transition? Certainly, there was the inability to meet in the synagogue due to persecution. And then as well, we are under grace and not law. So we need to bear that in mind too. Next, as we mentioned, God began an entirely new entity, the church. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about that as well, and there's a lot to get into there. And then, of course, we need to recognize that worship can happen any day. Some churches switch to Saturday. Messianic congregations worship on Saturday. We have freedom in Christ. Colossians 2:16 teaches we're not to be judged according to a Sabbath or to any holy days. Romans 14 gives us freedom as well. And we need to be a little careful with that because we need to take the context, because there were more holy days than just Saturday right? There were new moons, there were festivals, there was Passovers, there was a Feast of the Tabernacles, and Paul was trying to get across to them that you shouldn't allow yourselves to be judged or brought into conformity to the older system, the older Judaism, which was a symbol or a type of things to come. Okay? You have the fulfillment now in Christ, so that's important. But we need to recognize, too, that there are Christians that meet in other countries. And Sunday is the first day of the week, but it's the first day of the work week as well. So they may only be able to worship on Saturdays, easily, that is. They can worship at night, I'm sure. So we need to bear these things in mind. But in thinking of the rest, can you imagine, you know, Lance talked a little bit this morning about, was it Lance? About the, about the cow and it had contained 10 gallons of blood. It doesn't matter. But can you imagine the sacrifices that went on year after year after year after year? How tiresome that must have been. All those animals, all those birds, and so on. And then the Lord Jesus comes, and according to Hebrews, he's the ultimate sacrifice. He's the final sacrifice. And it all should have stopped. And I'm sure for the priests, because Acts talks about many priests coming to Christ. And we know what happened when the priests came to Christ in the New Testament. They were expelled, right? They were expelled from the temple. And it really wasn't until 70 AD when the temple got shut down, not only shut down, but destroyed by the Romans, that the whole system ceased. And it's really never started up again. And that's a whole other story. But it's really cool how those priests were able to enjoy a Sabbath rest. And for us, there is a Sabbath rest as well that we can talk about, and from a spiritual perspective. So the transition to the Lord's Day. So we know that the early church met on Sunday as the first day of the week. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. On the first day of the week, each of you should set aside a sum of money. And then Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. On the Lord's day. But also, we know that this is the day that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, the first day of the week. And maybe that's the most compelling reason. Maybe that's what got it started rather than all these other things that I sort of brainstormed and others as well. But we now have the Lord's Day. Now, here at Dunning Park, here we go. Our day of worship begins as a church family at 9:45. With the Lord's Supper. Our focus is the Lord Jesus, his death and resurrection, as we did this morning. We're encouraged, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, to examine ourselves before we take the bread and wine. And the Ten Commandments are a great matrix to use for that, including remember the Sabbath. Even though we don't worship on Saturday anymore, as a church, we worship on Sunday, which is the first day of the week, but how do we use every day? Is every day really for the Lord? Something to think about. You know, at 11:10, we have a time of worship that leads into ministry where our hearts are prepared to worship God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And then afterwards is a time for family and friends. So as Christians, you know, over time, Christians transition from a Saturday Sabbath to a Sunday Lord's Day, for the most part. And we talked about that, but for the most part, that's how we do things today. And some of my best memories as a young Christian go back to when we had evening services. Now, evening services can be a burden in that. And I'm not calling to bring back the evening service. I mean, we do what we can. We have various meetings and that, and they're great, okay? But for me personally, they were of great purpose, especially, and as I look at Bob Montgomery here, we used to meet at his sister's apartment, whole group of us from Martin Road Gospel Chapel. We would go over there and after the evening service, and we would have a time of singing. We would read through various epistles of the Scripture. We'd pray for one another. And for us, that was a great cap to the Lord's Day, and it really did what the Lord's Day should do. It sort of re-energized us. And that's what the Lord's Day is supposed to do. It's supposed to re-energize us, to help us refocus and recommit. Because let's face it, during the week, we can easily be broken down, and we are broken down. There's so many burdens to deal with. So many things happen in our lives that we don't expect, that we don't plan for. And it bears us down. The way interpersonal relationships can bear us down. And they can lead us into depression and wonder just what God is doing. Why can't Christians live like Christians? You know, why can't I live as a Christian as I should? And the Lord's Day is a day to examine. Take a look at ourselves, to humble ourselves before God, and to get back in proper relationship. Now, certainly, this should be done every day too, right? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So certainly, if there's an issue to be dealt with, we can deal with it immediately. We have immediate access through the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit into the presence of God. We have the Lord Jesus who always lives to make intercession for us. So bear these things in mind. Now, Lord's Day helps, quickly. A huge help to us in our walk with the Lord is reading and listening to spiritually minded books. And take that listening. Some people don't like to read, and that's fine. But you can listen as well to books to help us grow closer to the Lord, improve our relationship with neighbors. And music as well is a powerful tool, especially here at Dunning Park, we know that, right? It's a powerful tool to help us in our relationship with the Lord. And it helps to enhance the Lord's Day, and it can enhance every day that we have. Your local library has resources. Josh and I talk about Melcat, Hoopla, and Overdrive. You can get Christian books. I think Josh has something from Matt Chandler right now. You may know of him down in Texas. And I just got a commentary on Exodus by Brevard Childs that I went through. Sort of went through a very difficult book, but especially for not a technical person, but a great book. But you can get these resources, these commentaries, through this large system. You don't have to pay anything. It's just the result of being part of the system. And resources can be purchased online and even at Amazon for pennies. You just pay shipping, basically. And if you get Amazon Prime, you don't even have to do that. Okay? So, also, talking with older believers. It's so important to talk to older men and women. It's so important for you older men and women, I guess I sort of fall into that now, to make yourselves available for younger people to learn from. That's one of the things that I did as a young Christian. One of the things that I would do is when I first came to Christ, I made it a point to visit every older family that I could at Martin Road. And when I went to Lakeside, I did the same thing as well. And for me, that was a great blessing. You know, and oftentimes that would happen on the Lord's Day because people were generally more available on the Lord's Day. But it helped me grow. And it was really, really powerful. So a couple more thoughts here. As we talked about, the two great events recognized in the Old Testament that resulted in acts of worship were creation and deliverance from Egypt. Both were subjects of the Sabbath. When they rested, they were to think upon these things and upon the law as well. Certainly, Israel was meant to receive a Sabbath rest in the land, but lost it due to disobedience. The Sabbath is uniquely for Israel and the Jews, not the church. Okay, the church does not replace Israel. If you look into certain theological systems that we have, Christian, solid Christian as well for the most part, but they seek to usurp Israel's position. The church is the new Israel in that. And I'm not saying they don't have a leg to stand on. I'm just saying I disagree with them. And I know many of you disagree with that as well. So we need to bear that in mind. God has a special, unique place for Israel. He's going to fulfill all of his promises, Romans 9 through 11. He's going to do it, so we need to keep that in mind. And the people of God find a Sabbath rest in the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 3 and 4, and you can take a look at that in other passages as well. And the Lord's Day, The Lord's Day is a day of examination, worship, instruction, and fellowship. So we really need to take advantage of these things if we're going to live. Because even though we can have, as we said earlier, the me and Jesus time, that's important and significant. But remember Hebrews 10:26. The Lord has worked it out that we should meet together as a body. If you have the ability to meet with a body, you'll never reach your full potential if you reject the option of being part of a local church. Some Christians, and I know this, and you know this, cannot for various reasons. God fulfills his purposes. But for those of us who can, this is what he expects of us. And you need to work that out before God. So let's close now in a word of prayer. Our Father and God, we just thank you for so great salvation. We thank you, Father, that we could open your word and take a look at this vast subject. And we're thankful that we do have a rest, that truly there is no work on our part to merit salvation. We rest. Our Sabbath is in the Lord Jesus. And we look forward to the eternal state that's spoken of in Revelation when we can fully experience that in your presence. But now, Father, we just pray that we would take advantage of the many gifts that you have given to us, including the gift of this body here at Dunning Park and the various bodies that we are, that others of us may be a part of, Lord, and that we would fulfill the purposes that you have for us. For you've created us in Christ Jesus for good works. We are poems that the author and the finisher of our life, the author of our salvation, is writing this by his Holy Spirit, conforming us to the image of his Son. And he's going to finish that work. He's going to complete it. And we pray, Father, that we would truly desire this for ourselves. For truly, most of the time that we live is apart from one another, Father, but it is fully in your presence. So we just bear these things up before you, and we thank you for this day, this time of worship that we've enjoyed this morning. And we pray, Lord, that we would truly leave here today re-energized, refocused, and reconnected, Lord. So we thank you. As in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The meeting's ended.